Good morning. Hope everyone's having a fine Wednesday today. And we're continuing with John's post-ascension ministry. We're in Acts, and I did chapter 3 yesterday of Acts, kind of review and some things we saw back in Peter. John and Peter up at the temple. And that they had just healed a man that was outside that beautiful gate you see there in the picture. And that kind of, they've been preaching over there on the Solomon's porch. So that's where we're at. So I'm going to look at Acts chapter 4 again. Somewhat of a review, so for most of you, but wanted to kind of follow John and then heading to Revelation is my goal. Let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time. We get to look at your word and that you can show us something new, exciting to apply to our lives today. And that you could be with us and that I think of Cynthia, well with her and Tuck and Molly, her being in the hospital, that the doctors are, things are sounding good, Lord. And I praise you and thank you so much for that. That they continue that way, and that you keep your healing hand upon her. And thank you so much. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Just realized I had my microphone on. I hope you heard all that. Okay. Well, if you didn't, I'll pray that again at the end. But we're here in Acts chapter 4, and that I'm going to do a review. And I was mentioning that I had the picture of the temple over here. In chapter 3, John and Peter, through Jesus Christ's name, had healed a man there at the beautiful gate. And there over there is Solomon's porch preaching. And so in chapter 4, we're going to pick up, they're finishing up. And that we're going to see some souls saved. And so we'll pick up where. And as they spoke upon the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them. Let me mention a little bit about the Sadducees. If you don't know much about the political hierarchy of that time period, the first century Jerusalem. You had the Pharisees, who were pretty much like the priests of the Jewish people. You had the Sadducees, and they were kind of interesting folks. I've heard it said that they're kind of the liberals of the time frame. There were certain aspects they believed in a God, but that they didn't believe in things like the resurrection of the dead. So this whole thing about Jesus being raised from the dead. Was foreign to their ears. I'm going to address that here in a second. Continuing in Acts, verse 2, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. So the Sadducees are upset about this. And I'm going to bring in Matthew 22, 3, which this is Jesus back when he was still on earth, and the same day came to Sadducees, which say that there is no resurrection, and asked him. And they're going to test that. This is what Jesus got tested by the Sadducees about if a man dies. And I'll just run through it real quick. And they said unto him at this point, Master Moses said, if a man die having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now they were with us seven brethren, and the first, when he had married a wife, deceased, and having left his wife unto his brother. Likewise, the second also, and the third unto the seventh. And the last of all women died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? But they had all had her. Now realize they don't believe in resurrection. I guess they believe in a form of reincarnation. I'm not sure. But it, So Jesus, catching them off guard, says, he replies here in verse 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, "You do error, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as angels of God in heaven. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have ye not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham and Isaac and of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living." And this takes me to a verse in Kings where Elijah actually, what Jesus was talking about there is you don't know the scriptures. He was making reference to 2 Kings, we believe, that when Elisha had come upon this house where there was a child who was dead. And I just briefly go through this. And when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. He went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and lay upon the child and put his mouth upon his mouth and his eyes upon his eyes, and his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro, and went up and stretched himself upon him, and the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. So you can see there that this is kind of what Jesus was talking about, is that, there's resurrection from the dead. But back to Acts, now we got Peter and Paul actually dealing with the Sadducees. And so at this point, they had already healed that man. And so, and they were preaching about Jesus. There was in Jesus' name that they had done this because he was risen from the dead. So the Sadducees wanted to quiet this kind of talk. So, and they laid hands on them and hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. So they put John and Peter in jail. How bet many of them heard the believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. They had converted 5,000 people that day. It must have been a busy day at the temple, and a lot of people heard Peter. Amazing what the Holy Spirit does. Remember, Peter was had his difficulties there in John. Denied him 3 times, and ended up getting. But as soon as this came to him, and Acts 2, he became on fire for the Lord. And this is Peter right now that just through his sermon in Acts chapter 3, he was able to convince 5,000 men. And it came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and elders and scribes, and Ananias the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, power of by what name have you done this? And then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "You rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means is he made whole?" Well, skip the verse. "Be it known unto you all and to all Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom he crucified, who God raised from the dead, and even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner." And that particular verse comes from Psalms, actually, and that's Psalms 118:22, decided to show you. "The stone which the builders refused has become the headstone of the corner." That's a prophecy there of Jesus Christ back in the Psalm that David wrote, I believe. Back to Acts, verse 12. "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." You see this reflected by Paul in Hebrews 2. I kind of believe that... even doesn't say that most likely Paul wrote Hebrews. and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. So that's what he's saying there, is that without the crucifixion, without Jesus dying for us on the cross, there is no remission of sins. So for us to be able to have be able to save from our sins, the shedding of blood. Now, when they saw it in the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them, and they had been with Jesus. Amazing statement right there. Peter and John were fishermen in Galilee area, and down in Jerusalem, you know, a little bit on the aristocratic side, and just simple fishermen in Galilee. What can they know? But Peter spoke with such power and authority. He knew that. He had gotten this from the Lord himself. It wasn't of his own, which is so true to remember that it's the Holy Spirit in us that speaks on behalf of Jesus. We just have to turn over authority to him, and it's amazing what will come out. And behold, the man was healed, standing with them. They could say nothing against it. He was right there, healed. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves. Now the Pharisees and the Sadducees are going to, they're off in the corner talking to each other. And they're still concerned that they're going to lose control of the people because of this Jesus movement. And so they still don't believe that Jesus was the Messiah. And so they're trying to figure out what they're going to do about it. So they're conferring on the side, saying, "What should we do to these men? For they indeed, a notable miracle has been done by them, is manifest, and all that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. This man sat outside that gate I showed you, right there in front of the temple, day in and day out, impotent. You know, he couldn't walk. And Peter and Paul just saved him. So it wasn't like the, you know, some kind of a fake, sideshow act where they got the, you know, they had a prop. Somebody was faking to be, an impotent man. And everybody knew this person that was next to that gate for a while. But that he spread no further among the people. Let us straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in his name." So now he's going to threaten them. They called them and commanded them to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. Well, Peter found his voice again. But Peter and John answered and said unto him, "Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye? Well, we cannot but speak things which we have seen and heard." True, you want us, basically saying, you want us to lie. We know what we saw. And so when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorify God for that which was done. But there's 5,000 people in this area right now that believe. Probably a little fearful that they would have an uprising, a little fear for their lives. So they let them go. For the man was above 40 years old. That was the man that was healed, of whom the miracle of healing was shown. So I think that he'd probably been laying at that gate for many, 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 many years. And people knew who he was. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they had heard that, they lifted up their voices to God with one accord and said, "Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth, and the sea, and all that is in them, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against the Christ. For of a truth against the holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together. For to do whichever the hand in thy counsel determined before to be done. Just reflect here in Romans 8:29 that Paul, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be confirmed to the image of his son, that he might be born among many brethren. I was that he's the first to be resurrected from the dead. Basically first fruits, as they call it. And now, Lord, behold thy threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness that they may speak thy word. This is also reflected over in Philippians 14. And many of the brethren in the Lord waxing confident by my bonds and much more bold to speak the word without fear. Gotta admit, Peter sure has changed from a couple of months ago. By stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. And when they had prayed, and the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. So again, as reflecting on Philippians 1:14, the boldness. So that ends this part of Acts. I have one more place in Acts that we'll look at tomorrow. And a few other things to look at about John before we probably head into the epistles and take a look at his three epistles. Kind of reflect a little bit about still trying to do a little bit to determine exactly John ended up in the Ephesus area. And because most of his ministry was done from there, as we'll see going forward. And that I think it has something to do with the 70 AD period of time. But we'll look into that a little bit more going forward. So that's all I have for today. And I hope that that was a blessing. And let's end with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to praise you and thank you so much for your word, for this time to look at your word and to look at things that you have to show us for today. And that you give us boldness to be ready for whatever you have for us to do going forward. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. So I hope everybody has a great day, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow. And because tonight is Wednesday night, we're having prayer service, and I think, let's see, yeah, it's the beginning of the month, so it should be question and answer. So we'll look forward to that, and hope to see you there. Have a good day.